This is an ABC podcast.
This is InZane Rugby League on ABC Sport Digital, a show where we look at the lighter side of league, the InZane moments, and the people who play it. You'll get so close to the action, you might even taste the turf. Here's Zane rumbling up the field now. Let's go.
Yes, hello and welcome to InZane Rugby League for another week. I'm Zane Bojack, and what a big round we've had to open the NRL in season 2024. Upset after upset. The Storm, they kept the three-time defending premiers pointless. They clocked up 22 consecutive wins in round one contests. Craig Bellamy, how do you keep doing it? I do not know. The Titans, the Bulldogs and the Dolphins looked woeful. The Eels, the Cowboys and the Dragons looked amazing. But what about those Raiders? Ricky Stewart, against the odds, got his green machine over the line in Newcastle. And my co-host, Sam Williams, former Raiders star, he must be over the moon.
Very impressive, wasn't it? And I know that a lot of people had the Raiders to be wooden spooners and that it was going to be this diabolical year and that the Knights were going to flog them in round one. But you've got to remember, I know that the Raiders have lost a couple of senior players, but they were, you know, very, very close to going through to the second week of the semi-finals last year. The crux of that forward pack is still there, and you've still got people like Morgan Smithies who are coming in and being extremely good players in their own right over in England. So for me, it wasn't a bigger shock than as everyone else thought.
No, I think the rest of the competition finally realised that the Raiders are contenders this year, or at least contenders for the top eight, despite what they thought were, well, perhaps some holes in your roster. Maybe they're not holes. I dead set had a shocker with my tipping. What about you? I think you did all right, Sammy. I think you might have got five because you tipped a couple of the upsets.
Yeah, I don't think I went too bad. There wasn't any massive shocks to me over the first eight games of football. I thought that most of those games, I know there was a couple of games there. Look, Melbourne against Penrith, I think that Melbourne, look, that's 22 straight. So you don't... I don't see that as a massive upset. I didn't see losing Kieran Foran and the Titans was going to be a massive upset with the Dragons beating them. So I don't think there's anything that's really changed my mind over the first week of rugby league.
All right. It was sensational, though, off the back of Vegas. It was so good to have the footy back. But given the incredible start by Canberra on Thursday night in front of a sellout crowd at Newcastle, I thought it should just be a green machine loving.
We're bad at me, the green machine.
Musical maestro Dennis Carnahan, you didn't write that song, but I know you love singing it. Thanks for joining us on InZane Rugby League.
Oh, just keep the song going, Zane. Keep it going. Yeah.
You'll see green. You see green all the time, don't you?
All the time. Wearing a green shirt now. I'm sitting in my studio. Next to me is Paul Osborne's 1994 actual grand final jersey, which I've got to get back to Aussie at some point. A couple behind me full of Raiders gear. Yeah, I'm seeing green. And I've got to pick you up on a point. That upset. It's not an upset. It's only an upset for people in Sydney. The Sydney media, they always write the Raiders off. They've tipped them to come last every year since they joined the competition. They did come last in the first. So the Sydney media went, right, we're onto a good thing here. We'll tip them last every year. Never happened again.
Well, I tell you what, I was surprised. I will say that. I thought it was an ambush for the ages. Ricky's done it again. Look, Sammy, you've been privy to his speeches at halftime and post-match and in pre-seasons leading into big games like that. What would have Ricky said to his team to get them to put on a performance like that in front of a packed house at Hunter Stadium?
Oh, look, Ricky would have absolutely loved the fact that everyone was writing him off in the pre-season because he's got this unbelievable ability of getting a team to stick together and be solid. So I think that the narrative in the off-season is one of those ones that Ricky would have really liked. He certainly wasn't coming out making too many outlandish statements after the game. But as I said at the start, look at the Raiders forward pack and the experience you've got through in it. And you add someone like Zach Hosking and also Morgan Smithies to the pack. Now, your forward pack, I still do believe that they decide who wins games and the backs decide by how much. But if your forward pack can defeat your other forward pack, I think it goes to a long, long way of winning. And they did a really good job on Kalyn Ponga. And look, Ricky just loved it. He loved every bit of it. I know that there's a through the preseason down here at Canberra, I know there's been a quiet expectation that this group's going to go a lot better than a lot of people think. So I know every club thinks that, but I know that within those walls, they're confident that they can surprise some people this year.
As I mentioned before, with the roster, we thought, okay, is the roster good enough for Canberra? There was acres of trees cut down over the off-season, Dennis, about who's going to play six, who's going to replace Jack White, and is Ethan Strange or is KO Wicks up to it? Well, Ethan Strange got first shot, and wowee, what an impact he made.
Yeah, wasn't he great? He's only joined the Raiders, 23, like last year he joined. So he's a Central Coast junior. He came in, played a few games of flag, and then straight up from New South Wales Cup. And Raiders fans who go to the early games saw a lot of his work, the three tries in Origin last year. We knew we had something good. We're pretty excited about it. I personally love Kyo Weeks. And I don't know, I'm struggling to reconcile the fact that he's not in the team. It's only because Ethan is so good that I accept that. Kyo played for my son's junior club and I coached him a couple of times. So I'm going to claim all credit for anything he gets. And I'm going to say it here. If Kyo plays a part in the Raiders getting a premiership, I'm getting a Kyo Weeks tattoo.
I like that. Oh, what a surprise. Dennis getting a Raiders tattoo.
I'm clean skin, mate. To get to my age as a clean skin, you know, I tell you, Sammy Williams, I'm like 100% winning Raiders captain. That came close to a tattoo.
We should have got it done, mate.
Yeah. The thing I thought with Ethan, particularly in the trial matches when it was just him and Kyo playing in the halves, just the defence looked so solid. It looked so secure. And, you know, everyone's making a point in Canberra. They're not trying to replace Jack White. Jack White was Jack White, and they're looking for 5'8". They're looking, and that's what they're looking for. So they want either Ethan or Kyo to be Ethan or Kyo. They don't want him to be Jack White. And he just seems like he's played, the whole team just played an absolute percentages money ball game, kick deep, chase hard. And that's what they did. And it was a great plan. And for, you know, early season game, it worked beautifully. And Ethan played his part, but, you know, as did Jamal, the kicks. But the chasing, yeah, I'm going to have to stop because I'll take the whole show.
It was really interesting, wasn't it? Because you had basically Kalen Ponga, the Dally M medalist, looking flustered. And that's got to be credit, seriously, for the Raiders there, Semi.
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job on him. But that's the one thing about, you know, it's the first game of the season. It takes some time to get your combinations right. Defensively, they've had a plan ready for 3 months about how they're going to attack the first game of the season. So it really isn't easy trying to come out and be this superstar straight away off the bat. As I said before, there's so many things that go into that. And the major reason is you go forward from your pack. And the Raiders did a good job on the forward pack of the Knights, and then that enabled them to nullify what Ponga could do from the back.
I like the look of Morgan Smithies. I think that's a good buy there, Dennis.
Oh, great buy. Also, Zach Hosking, like the two of them together, and they almost, you know, weren't even meant to be playing. There's a couple of outs that got them in the team. But, yeah, they look great. Zach Hosking just seems like he cleans stuff up. He keeps a really clean, you know, there weren't breaks through him. He's tackling. It's Ron Coote-like. His tackles in the trial just beautifully, chest around the thighs, pulls him down. Can't get enough of him. And Smithies does not look out of place at all. He looks like he's, you know, been playing for three or four seasons in the NRL.
Got two Dally M votes in his first match for the Raiders. That's pretty handy. Jamal Fogarty got four, Joe Tarpany three, and Hal Hosking, as you mentioned, he got two as well, and Dimicor got one. So it was a total shutout from the Raiders. And do you feel better just to get all of that off your chest? You've been wanting to talk about the Raiders all year, and all of a sudden you can talk about a victory, boys.
100% better. And I wish Ponga played against us all year.
Dennis comes in, we're straight away, our new signing's Ronnie Coote. You know, it's just brilliant.
Well, you get to call them on Saturday because it's the game against the Tigers. The poor old Tigers, they haven't played since February 24, would you believe, against the Dragons, and all of a sudden they're back into the competition in round two. Must be an easy win for the Raiders coming up. Sammy, you'll be with Timmy Gavel and Alan Tung at 3 o'clock. That should be a good game.
Yeah, can't wait to be out there calling the game again this year. It's look, these are probably the games that we've struggled with a little bit over the last year or two, but the confidence coming out of that first week victory, playing at home, it'll be a Saturday afternoon, it's going to be hot and dry. I think it'll be a great game of football. I'd be really, really disappointed if the Raiders don't back up last week's performance, because I'm expecting them to win convincingly this week.
Our feature interview for today is new Warriors recruit Kirk Capel. He's going to explain his exit from the Broncos, his move across the ditch. Both Sammy and Dennis will go head-to-head in our trivia competition, and the writer and producer of the hit Netflix series Boy Swallows Universe, Trent Dalton, will join us. He's a massive Eels fan, so I'm sure he's going to have a huge smile after Saturday's massive victory over the Bulldogs. That's all coming up on InZane Rugby League.
You're listening to InZane Rugby League on ABC Sport Digital, where the issues hit you so hard, you better bring your mouthguard.
Yes, also on the ABC Listen app, the best of ABC Sport podcast feed, and right across the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia, we've got Zane Bojack, Sam Williams, and star radio technician and musician Dennis Carnahan with you. Dennis, just before we get back to the footy, you had to mount a massive radio broadcast from Las Vegas last week. How hard was that for you to logistically put together, considering, I believe, you hadn't actually been to Allegiant Stadium before?
There were some challenges. There was, to use the vernacular, there was a lot of unknown unknowns. There's a lot of known unknowns. We got through all the known unknowns before the broadcast, but there's a couple of others that popped up. But it's more like in a different country, they use different radio frequencies for their radio mics, so that was an issue. The stadium is massive. It was funny going back to Western Sydney Stadium on whatever day we went there. I've lost track of days. Because when that opened, I remember looking at it going, gee, this is great. This is huge. This is massive. And then coming back after being at Allegiant, it's like, wow, what a tiny little suburban stadium this is. But the stadium was amazing. And the thing that the Americans did really well, yeah, there's flash and bells and whistles and seats that cost, bay of 10 seats, that's $1.5 million for the Super Bowl. There's a lot of money there, but just the practical way it's laid out for the broadcasters, it's so sensible, so simple, so pragmatic, it's so Protestant, it's so straight. You can see, you know exactly what's going on. And that sort of stuff for me as a tech, oh, heaven, just heaven.
Oh, well, I'm glad that there were some easy parts to it, because I just imagine it would have been very, very hard. I know even for our management, it was hard to try and work out who was actually going to go over, because Luke Lewis didn't go. Maybe it's because he couldn't get his camera crew on the plane going over.
Say your life was filmed like The Truman Show.
Yeah.
Would people actually...
I'll be honest with you, I feel like I get filmed. Like, I feel like I am The Truman Show. You know when it rains? Sometimes I feel like it's just raining on me.
I'm not even going to pursue it anymore. I can't compete with whatever's going on in the head. I just hope the weather's good in your world.
He's a unique individual, Luke Lewis, isn't he? You must be fun to work with, Dennis.
Oh, he's terrifying to work with. You've got to watch yourself the whole time. He's liberal with the truth. And no, I didn't touch your phone. What are you talking about? Are you cracking him? Like he's always stealing phones. And I know if he'd come on the trip, none of us would have had our passports. He's a dead set magician. We would have had our passports he would have given them back a second before we go through passport control, and all of us would have been sweating. And so it was kind of a relief not having him there, but it was, it's good to have him back.
It is good to have him back, and I know he loved the Sharkies win over the Warriors.
Brayley to Hines. Over the top he goes to Talakai. He's got some room now for Mulatalo, who's wrapped up by Walesniak, but going over to score is CSC for Talakai. He had the foresight, Mulatalo, to get the footy away, and Talakai can finish off the handiwork, and with that, he puts the Sharks in front.
And they were never headed after that, a 16-12 win over New Zealand. Brett Sprigg there. Well, it was interesting because the Sharkies were under the pump. It looked like the Warriors were going to run away with it at 12-0, but at one stage when they were trying to get themselves back in front, they were down 12-10, and Nicho Hynes did a short dropout. Cronulla gets the ball back. They go almost the length of the field in the first couple of tackles, and all of a sudden Talakai goes over. Do you like this new concept of the dropout and restart being short, Dennis, and there's no repercussions perhaps if you get it wrong?
Yeah, I'm a little unsure whether I like it or not, because I like a bit of gambling, a bit of risk and reward. If we do a short kick dropout and it goes out and the full doesn't go 10 metres, we give away a penalty straight in front. Whereas now, if it goes out or doesn't go 10 metres, it's just to play the ball to the opposition. So it's like you've lost the short dropout. So there's not quite the risk there was before, but there's still the equal reward in that if you get it up, if your player gets up and taps it back, you can get the ball back. I like that part of it. And this was... You know, it's
it used to be like it's very Super League used to do it all the time in England. It was a very common thing there to have the short dropout. Then under the Walker brothers, Ipswich Jets would do a lot of those and short kickoffs as well. So making it a contest for the ball, and I think that's a good thing. So probably overall, I'm going to say yes that they've encouraged people to do it. It's almost a basketball play. It's a very aggressive play, but baseball, of course, is associated with moral victories and losses, and they had an actual win on the back of it.
Yeah, it's true. I think maybe it's taken some of the spontaneity out of it, which is a little bit disappointing. I know we're going to hear from Kurt Capel a little later on, Sammy, and he was talking about Chanel Harris-Tavita killing it in the off-season for the Warriors, but Luke Metcalf's got the number 6 jersey at the moment, and he's making every post a winner, isn't he? It's not his fault that they got beaten at the weekend.
No, that's right. And I think last year when he came in, he did an exceptional job and really took his opportunity. And that's what it's all about. To stay in the NRL, you've got to take your opportunities. And he's doing a really good job. And I think the Warriors are looking to back him with an extended deal as well. So he's doing a really good job. And I know at some point throughout the season, those halves are going to get injured or have a week off at some point. And the depth of the Warriors is really important, especially in such key positions. So doing a really good job, Luke Metcalf. I'm really happy for him because he's found a home over there in New Zealand and doing a really good job and arguably the best job in the world playing outside Sean Johnson.
Yeah, and the Warriors have got a tough one again in round two because they play the Melbourne Storm.
Goes left to Karma Kamitha. He's caught 13 out from the Penrith line. 4, 3, 2, 1. Karma Kamitha doesn't have to play it. It's time off. And the Melbourne Storm has scored a remarkable win over Penrith here at Amy Park by 8-0. They're too tired to celebrate.
I think Andrew Moore was tired after that one as well, because even though there weren't many tries scored, it was end-to-end action. Storm, 22 wins in a row in round one. That's incredible. The interesting thing was the Panthers didn't score a point, but I think they were a bit unlucky getting that try to Sonny Luke denied in the 30th minute. Jerome Luai adjudicated to run behind his lead runner and obstructed Jerome Hughes. It looked to me like Luai actually beating with footwork and it had nothing to do with an obstruction. What did you think?
Oh, it's hard, isn't it? I mean, it's one of the hardest rules for the referees trying to make a black and white rule that isn't a black and white rule. Is it an obstruction? Someone has to be obstructed. So I can see both sides of it. I do get frustrated with the rule. I think at times that players just know that they're not going to make a play. But in saying that too, if the defender knows that they can't run around them, then they probably make the read sometimes in that circumstance that they know that they can't go around the opposition player. So I can understand the ruling, but I think a lot of the time we're trying to make a black and white rule that is a grey area. So I'm just going to let this one go and hopefully we don't have too many more of them going forward.
There was a positive for Penrith. I mean, firstly, last year they lost first round to Brisbane, after losing the World Club Challenge to St Helens. This time around, they've lost to Wigan and then, of course, lost to Melbourne. But to me, it doesn't mean that they can't win the competition for a fourth straight year.
Delayed pass, Salmon turns it into Wilson. He locks it. Look out, Harper's picked it up. He's over halfway. Curran in pursuit. Pass back to Simonson. Yeah! He's away over the 20 to 10 and he's in to score the try. Parramatta score. Eels 24. Canterbury Banks down 8, misplay by the Bulldogs, try to Bailey Simonson, 3 minutes 40 to go, game, set, bingo, the Eels are going to get away with a 24-8 kick to come.
I'm sure the writer and producer of Boy Swallows Universe, Trent Dalton's going to be very excited talking about that, but they looked good, the Eels, didn't they? The old game set bingo from Andrew there as Simonson went over, a huge crowd at Western Sydney Stadium, I'm sure the atmosphere was amazing, Dennis, but Sammy, I have to ask you, because every year since 1986, Parramatta fans, they keep asking this immortal question, is this the year? Are they going to break the drought?
Short answer is no. They aren't going to win the comp, but I thought they were one of the most disappointing sides last year because that spine, when it's going, when you've got Gutherson, Brown, Moses all firing, I think that they're as dangerous as anyone in the competition. So I went in with the Parramatta side last year with fairly high expectations coming off the previous season, and they were really disappointing. And I know they had a lot of things go wrong last year. They had some injuries, they had Origin, all these different things, but I definitely think that they're going to be a very improved side. When they're firing, they can beat anyone, and this week's going to be a ripper. So I'm quietly confident that the Eels are going to go in the right direction this year, but your question, No, they won't win it.
Yeah, well, they'll get a big test against the Penrith Panthers, who are desperate for a victory themselves. They don't want to be 0-2, but the Eels, and good news too that Mitch Moses, he's going to be available as well. He's okay after that slight groin strain. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens in that big contest. Of course, that's on Friday night, the Panthers and the Parramatta Eels. From just before 8 o'clock Australian Eastern Daylight Time in Australia. Check your local guides if you're in the Pacific. I'm going to play a highlight now. I will admit that this match did hurt me.
He'll play it for Little, who comes back open side right for Flanagan, first receiver. Dummies goes to Hunt. Short ball Sloan, Terrell Sloan, straight through. Hat-trick time for Sloan and party time for the St. George Illawarra Dragons. The Gold Coast defence on the goal line is absolutely crumbling, and the Dragons are making hay while the sun shines. They lead 26 points to 4 with a kick to come and 13 still to go, starting to get a little ugly.
Oh, it was ugly, Glenn Lauder, that is for sure. It was an absolute stink fest from the Titans under new head coach Des Hasler. In front of a good crowd, 215,000 on the tourist strip. The Dragons actually look like world beaters. I don't know whether that's because the Titans were so bad or because Shane Flanagan's got the red V firing. But look, I want to say to you, Dennis, what did you think? Did you think that the Dragons were impressive, or were you like me and just thought, wow, we, the Titans, have a long way to go?
When did they lose Kieran Foran?
Just before kickoff. So
yeah, see, that's he's such a key player. That calm head, that old head, is such a good leadership head for that team, and I think that cost them a lot. But I think the Dragons, they've actually always had, you know, players that, you know, Sloan has always been a great player. Lomax is, no one knows what to do with Zach Lomax. That there's a lot of, I think culturally that club has had real problems over the last few years. And Flano, what Flano brings in is culture, is hard work, is discipline, is stick to your roles. And I think he's actually been really good for the team. I heard Louis going on and on and on about it. And there's the standard joke of asking Ben Hunt, you know, what's it like when the coach's son's playing in the team? And he said, oh, you know, it's okay, but, you know, it's not, the coach's son isn't Kyle Flanagan, it's Jack Bird. And he's the actual coach's son, who gets special treatment. Kyle Flanagan played a much more mature game than normal, like than we've seen before. He didn't look overawed. He looks mature. He knew what he was doing. He was calm, so he wasn't overextending. They actually looked really good. And I think, you know, Matt Elliott was bouncy about them the other day. And every Dragons fan I know, forget your Eels, they're convinced that they're going, all the way this year. This is it. Flano's going to get a premiership in round one. They're ebullient.
Yeah, well, Little was good out of dummy half as well. I thought they were fantastic. The interesting thing for me was that the Titans completed at 83%, the Dragons only 78. There was 23 missed tackles for the Titans and 17 for the Dragons. But they got absolutely lapped, the Gold Coast Titans. And as you said, you know, Kieran Foran being out doesn't help them. But yeah, the Dragons, they did look good. And I think that comes with a coach that knows where he wants to go with a playing group. And let's hope he keeps instilling some great confidence in them. I know I saw a confident football team at Lang Park on the weekend, that is for sure.
On 5:45 out the Cowboys from the Dolphins line. They run it to the right, Townsend through Nane to Labert, who steps off his right and infield. Labert into the backfield. Labert will score the Cowboys' first try of 2024. Running it on the last. They've rolled the dice, and a beautiful right foot step from Zach Labert puts North Queensland into the lead early at the Cauldron.
It was an absolute ripping try and a great performance by the Cowboys. But once again, I wonder about the Dolphins and whether or not Wayne Bennett's got some problems there. Dennis, did you see the game? Do you think Wayne needs to make some structural changes? I just think defensively they just looked at all at sea.
Yeah, they did look like they weren't quite. They didn't have a lot of answers for the Cowboys backs, and the Cowboys did play a great game, so it's kind of hard to judge. But with, I don't know if they were missing anyone, were they? Like the Dolphins, they did just look like,
apart from Tom Hill, but no, game. That's right.
Gee, we get excited after round one performances, whether they're good or bad or in between, because I don't feel that. Yeah, honestly, I just think that a lot of these games, we're getting so excited about victories or a side losing. We're writing sides off. We've got teams winning the comp. I honestly think that we're just getting so. If you like a side over the next few weeks, stick with them, because I think you're going to see some ridiculous setups in terms of the way that people are laying teams and the way that teams are saying that they're going to go on and make the eight, you've got to see consistency. And that's the biggest thing in the NRL is week in, week out rugby league and making sure you can do it on a consistent basis. And these sides that have had wins, you've just mentioned St. George, I'm not going to get excited about them until I've seen them do 3-4 in a row. And it's the same as I'm not going to write off teams who have lost this first game. I'm not writing off these sides like the Titans who had a shocker, but it's one game. So just breathe a little bit. Let's see how this all plays out. But I do agree there are some concerns there around the Dolphins, but let's not just draw the line through just yet.
That's why he's our expert, Dennis. Dennis Carnahan and Sammy Williams, former Raiders great, with Zane Bojack on NZ Rugby League. Back in a sec.
NZ Rugby League on ABC Sport Digital and the ABC Listen app. Better tape up those laces because it's about to kick off again.
Oh, we're kicking off all right. Zane Bojack, 100-game veteran for the Raiders and Dragons in the NRL, Sam Williams, and 4,354 shows and counting with Rugby League the Musical and Cricket the Musical, Dennis.
Cricket the Musical, what a triumph that was. This year. I took it to Melbourne for the first time this year, and that was an interesting experience because when I play, most people know who I am and know what I've done. Like, they've heard me on radio, they've heard my songs. But I asked the question at the start of the show, has anyone here seen me play before? No hands. Anyone seen my stuff on YouTube? One hand. One person in this full theatre knew who I was. Like, how good's Melbourne? They just turn up. No idea what
they saw the word cricket and was like, oh, I'm in for that. That sounds great. How good.
Yep.
Can I tell you something? I know you love singing on the air. I got Sammy Williams to sing like Elvis last week on NZ Rugby League.
Have you got a recording of it?
Oh, I should.
Honestly, you had me worried there. I thought you were going to press play. It was absolutely horrendous. Horrendous.
I've always wondered, because when Troy Thompson used to write his article in the Canberra Times every week, he'd do this back in 2012, 2011, even earlier, he called Sammy the Kuma Crooner. And I wondered where that name came from. Was there some, you know, karaoke incident that Sam's keeping secret that Troy Thompson knew about?
Oh, it's woeful, mate. You don't want to hear it. Your ears would bleed. That's your job. My job is to sit in the crowd and put my hand up when I know who Dennis Carnahan is. That's my job. Well,
I tell you what, Dennis does a great job, but Sammy, you're not far behind. The reason we were singing Elvis is, of course, the Vegas weekend. I want to ask you a question. You're over there for the season opener, Dennis. You guys did a great season preview on the Friday night, which was Saturday Arvo here in Australia. Should we have rugby league played on both Friday and Saturday night? I've got an idea, a doubleheader both nights, NRLW All-Stars and the World Club Challenge on the Friday night, followed by another four teams in a season-opening NRL doubleheader like we had this year on the Saturday night. What's your thoughts, seeing how you're over there?
My thought is, and I think this is probably what the NRL will do, leave it as is. So it was the first year and it was a success. There were some things they could have done better and which they will do better next year. But I think making a wholesale change like that would be a bit too much. And I don't know if people who go over there would want to go for two nights of footy. Yeah. And I think that, you know, the NRLW and the World Club Challenge would have issues. Like, they were really concerned that if, you know, the four teams they had booked in, if the Broncos had won the grand final, they would have had to play the World Club Challenge, then come over to Vegas.
Yeah.
And the organisation of that is a little bit tight, so they were kind of lucky that they didn't have Penrith in there because it meant they were completely clean. I see the promotional point of it, but I just think the short, sharp bang, two games starting the season one night, it's much easier for, you know, the broadcasters in the US to get around that. It's just a single bite. Whereas the Australians going over there, that Thursday night in Las Vegas, the season launch, that to me was the biggest mark of success of this thing. The mood of that place, the feeling of everyone in there, the absolute buzz of the crowd. And, next year I want to take a bingo card of jerseys and not just, you know, Bulldogs jerseys or Wakefield Trinity jerseys, but you want to take every year of those clubs. There was, like, for jersey nerds, and I know there's a few people on Twitter calling themselves the NRL jersey nerd, whatever, there were so many different varieties of jerseys over there. And just the mood, it was just an absolute celebration of rugby league like I've never seen before. So I reckon keep it as is for at least the first couple of years. If they're going to expand it, see how it goes next year, then look at expanding.
Okay, I'm thinking on the run here, Sammy. Given what Dennis just said, maybe the Super League, do they do something themselves? Do they try and take a match over there themselves, maybe even the night before the doubleheader for the NRL?
Well, the concern is, I mean, I'd love to see it, but the concern is the NRL has so much money and the Super League don't have the money. So who's going to fund it? The Super League don't have $60 million there to take sides over there and promote it and do all these things. They have to see a return on their dollar or their pound to be able to make it work. And I just don't think they have the money. So the same thing goes back to the World Club Challenge. The NRL are probably going to have to foot the bill. They probably don't see it as their obligation to foot the bill unless the Super League want to go halves. So I think that becomes a bit of an issue and the timing of it. You're 3-4 weeks into the Super League season, how that all works. So although I think it'll be a fantastic thing to have on and great timing, I just don't know if realistically it's going to happen.
No, we wait to see how it all plays out. We were talking about broadcast dollars there before. Obviously, with the new broadcasting deal coming in 2027, there's a lot of talk about how many teams are going to have an expanded NRL competition, and there is growing momentum behind PNG team in the NRL. Here's what ARLC Chair Peter Verlandis had to say about the issue on Grandstand Rugby League at the weekend.
Oh, absolutely. It's a major objective for us, and you're right, we want to open up all the pathways in New Guinea. See, sport has an asset that a lot of things don't have, and that it brings communities together. Phil Gould told me once that kids don't go to school there, but you take a rugby league player to the school, they'll turn up to the school. It has an enormous benefit because if you don't have education, it continues the poverty circle. And if rugby league can help to stop poverty in Papua New Guinea and give people hope, we'll certainly be part of that. And it's soft diplomacy for the Australian government. They're prepared to make a major investment in Papua New Guinea where we'll set pathways. It's not about... The money's not going to having an NRL team. The money is actually going to establish pathways, having the game at schools, making sure the kids turn up to school and have something to look forward to at school. And you know, we'll do it in a couple of regions and then we'll replicate it in other regions. And eventually, sport can actually be a major... tool in basically attacking the poverty situation in Papua New Guinea.
That money that the ARLC chair Peter Verlandis is talking about is no small sum. It's $25 million. And when he says the ARLC and the Australian government are involved in this soft diplomacy, this is how an NRL insider explained it to me, and he gave me a great insight. PNG has had massive riots in recent months, and PVL is right about the impact the game can have at a community level, not just corporately or competition-wise. PVL met US President Joe Biden last week when he was in the United States, and PVL and the NRL actually have a very important part to play in keeping peace in the Pacific. The US wants to put troops on the ground in New Guinea to keep the Chinese incursion away. And they've asked the PNG government to give up their sovereignty to do so. The PNG government are willing to do it, providing the US gives them money and guess what? An NRL team. You would not believe it. That's how much they love it up there. They are using the sovereignty of their nation to get the team that they desperately want. So Anthony Albanese and Peter Verlandis have become very important in making sure this happens. The franchise needs to not only be successful, but deliver pathways, as he spoke about, help foster community spirit to stop the riots, and, of course, having American troops on PNG soil, they can also help as peacekeepers. Now, what do you think, Sammy? If you're a player, you can go up there and live in a gated community. The Australian government will offer tax incentives. So instead of earning 60 cents or 50 cents in the dollar, you earn 80 cents in the dollar. I know for a fact that the North Queensland Cowboys don't want their Cairns training-based solution. So with the new TV deal coming up in 2027 and the NRL needing 18 teams to deliver one extra match for content, is it the Perth Bears, which we know will probably work and will work into the future, but of course will involve, you know, North Sydney having two games in Sydney and a bit of, you know, sort of being a bit half pregnant? Or do we just make it the PNG team and, you know, do away with the Bears and give them their own identity and their own culture and just say, yep, this is what we've got to do for the future of the game and also for the future of the Pacific?
I think that you'd get a lot of good footballers that would flow into the NRL. That would be one big tick because we all know the athleticism and the build of these PNG players. That would be a big tick. My thing is, if it's that important to the US government and that important to the Australian government, we'll ask for the triple the money, because what's 50 million, what's 100 million to these governments when we're the ones going out of our way to give them a team and give them what they want? If they really want it, well, give us more. And that's my theory on it all, because we can survive. The NRL will survive without the PNG side, but can the US government afford not to have troops on the land there? So how about saying to Biden, give us $100 million and you can have two teams? I don't care, because at the end of the day, we're going to end up, the game's got to be a lot better off by doing it, because we're not here to do any favours. We're not here to just, you know, help the US government get troops on PNG soil. So ask for more and then we can do it. On the back of that, I think that Perth should be in the comp, because I know that the way that they sit, time zones, and I think the growth area over there is really good. So for me, if we're going to go to PNG and we're going to ignore, say, Perth or a site in New Zealand, we've got to be getting more than just the 25 mil out of it.
Funny you should say New Zealand, because the same person told me that the North Sydney Bears have looked into Christchurch, because if you see the colours of Crusaders in the Super Rugby, they're black and red, and they're very willing to even go to Christchurch and be the second New Zealand team if they get to play a couple of games at North Sydney as well. So you've got Christchurch, Perth, PNG. No negotiation on colours, logo and Bears name. That has to be there no matter where that North Sydney Bears franchise goes to. What do you think, Dennis, PNG or Perth?
Well, me personally, I'd be saying Perth. I'd be going straight up Perth. I think it's every time they've, you know, taken origins there or taken games over there to say, let's test the market. The market has resoundingly said, we'll turn up, give us a team. And I think the will is more there, but I understand politically and financially, it makes the Papua New Guinea thing is really, it's fascinating. And no one said the cliche yet, it's the only country where league is the national sport. It kind of makes sense. I can see the political sense in it. And if the US government wants to put in, like Sam says, a couple of $100 million, in fact, maybe the US government could give the NRL the Vegas trip for nothing and get a bit of US government support for the NRL expansion into Vegas. Why not? It does make me think, though. Imagine if Johnny Rebo's big plan of taking rugby league to China had happened. Maybe China will be putting a rugby league team in Papua New Guinea.
It's not as far-fetched as you think. Just the way things are going in the Pacific, it's crazy. But the thing that I want to know is PVL sitting down with Joe Biden and saying, I want money. It's just amazing what our chair can do, that is for sure. Soon we'll play the quiz. And how much is he going to get? You just know he's going to screw a heap of money out of them. That's the thing. Soon we'll play the quiz, and then we'll catch up with Kirk Capel and Trent Dalton from Boy Swallows Universe. He's going to talk tips with us here on InZone Rugby League. Just another day of fun and play on the best podcast that the ABC has to offer.
No, he's not Eddie Maguire. He's Sam Williams. And he's our rugby league expert. But can our guest host defeat Sam in 5 multiple choice questions? Strap your ankles and tighten that headgear as we play Who Wants to Be an InZone Trivia Champion?
Yes, indeed. 5 questions, all multiple choice, testing the knowledge of Green Machine veteran and all-round good guy Sammy Williams up against our ABC Sport Man of Sound, Dennis Carnahan. Dennis, you're known throughout the land for your brilliant songs in Rugby League the Musical, including That's in Queensland. This one from the weekend, it's now one of my favourites.
Where's Louis? No idea. Don't care for now. Guys, where is Louis?
Louis. Oh, boy. Where were you? Where, Louis? I said, where'd you go?
Where's Louis? Where were you, Louis?
They went for a journey over the sea. Moore and Gibbs and the grandstand team. But when they made it, they were alone, wondering where their Louis had gone. Oh, Louis. Oh, where? I said, where'd you go?
Know why he didn't go to Vegas.
Oh, absolutely brilliant, Dennis. How long did that take you, can I ask?
I kind of got the idea. It was actually a Ralph Tucker idea. He gave me another idea about a Louis song, but it was a bit ruder. And so, I Louis, you know, it's been sitting there since 1957 waiting to be a song about Luke Lewis. So I just took the chance and ran with it.
Well, I love that song because it was featured in the movie Mr. Holland's Opus, and I loved that movie back in the 90s. And I was like, I was at Lang Park and I went, you absolute legend, Dennis. I don't know how you do the lyrics. And of course, every Sunday, it's Song of the Week with Dennis Carnahan. Make sure you tune in to Grandstand Rugby League. Brilliant work by you. And I want you to show me how brilliant you can be with your rugby league knowledge as well. Have you been studying Rugby League Project this week as a result?
No. No, I was coming up against Sam Williams, so I'm just going to... My only chance is to lay down Mazaire.
I don't think so. Sammy got a win last week too, by the way. You almost got 3 from 3, didn't you, Sammy? You smashed it.
Yeah, I was very unlucky on the last question. I went home very happy with myself, I did.
Yeah, you did. All right, well, you're going to kick us off and I'll get our music going. Sam, in 1986 it was, the then brand new Parramatta Stadium was opened in round two, with the Eels stunning the Dragons, the 85 grand finalists, by what score? Was it A, 32-4, B, 36-6, C, 42-0, or D, 22-10? The theme this week is round two clashes, 32-4, 36-6, 42-0, or 22-10. Well, what's your answer, Sammy?
Not confident, but 36-6.
Oh, is he right?
And there's the siren in the background. Kevin Roberts has acknowledged it now. And so the first sporting event on the new Parramatta Stadium comes to its end. Probably the way a lot of people thought it had to, with Parramatta defeating St George 36-6.
Dang.
Jeez, you made me wait.
You legend. Yes, indeedy. You've got to give Ray Warren his due.
That nervous.
Dennis, in horrendous conditions last year, you're 1-0 up. Pressure on Dennis. In horrendous conditions last year, the Dolphins defeated your Raiders at their spiritual home at Dolphin Oval. Who scored the winning try? Almost got flooded that day. Fair dinkum. Was it A, Hamiso Tabuai-Fadou, B, Jared Wallace, C, Ewan Aiken, or D, Jermaine Asako? Who scored the try that killed off your Raiders in horrendous conditions in round two last year?
I got no idea, no recollection. I don't re-watch Raiders games that are lost. I'm just going to say the Hammer, because the Hammer looks like a heartbreaker to me.
Qatar, double pop, Hamiso Tabuai-Fadou!
You legend, Dennis.
Absolute guess.
Well done. 1-1. This is what I want. Down to the death. This is absolutely awesome. 3 questions to go. Sammy, in round one of 96, every Super League aligned team forfeited their matches in the Australian Rugby League competition, meaning they all made their season debuts in round two. Who was the first Super League aligned team to play that round? Was it A, North Queensland, B, Broncos, C, the Warriors, or D, Cronulla?
And that's tough.
Jeez.
That is tough.
Shocking tough.
Oh, I'm going to go with the Sharkies.
Cronulla Sharks defeated St. George Illawarra 24-16 at Shark Park on Saturday afternoon on the ABC, just before North Queensland got pumped 40-2 by the Roosters in Townsville. The Friday night clash on Channel 9 was South Queensland versus Parramatta, just in case the Super League teams forfeited again. So Channel 9 made sure they had a blockbuster ready to go. Oh, Sammy, 2-1. Well done. Okay. Dennis, in 2003...
Heart rate's high. I know.
In 2003, the Penrith Panthers lost 42-16 in Melbourne in round two before going on a winning streak on their way to the premiership. How many games did they win in a row after that loss? Was it A5, B6, C10, or D8?
I'm going to go 8, just because it's in the middle.
It was a club record until 2020. The Panthers won 17 in a row that year before they lost to the Storm, funnily enough, in the season decider. But yes, 8 wins in a row in 2003, and they went through. They actually lost 6 for the year, but they won the premiership with an 8-game winning streak, which kept them on the top of the ladder for the rest of the season. That means we've got 2-2. We're going into a tiebreaker. Oh, this is exciting. Okay, a live tiebreaker on Inzane Rugby League. Dennis Carnahan, man of sound, up against Sammy Williams, Raiders legend, who I happen to know Dennis loves. Here we go. In 2021, the defending premiers Melbourne were defeated by the Parramatta Eels in round two at the new Western Sydney Stadium. First person to give me the right answer. Who scored the winning try? A, Mitch Moses. B, Clint Gutherson. C, Mike Acevo. Or D, Junior Paulo. Or Barlow, I should
say. I'm going to go Sivo.
Marnie gives the pass. And Moses puts it high down to Jennings. Oh, marked by Sivo. He's going to go in and make the try. Did he hold the ball?
3-2. 3-2, Dennis Carnahan.
You're breaking me, man. I was all but home and he's gone, jumped straight in on top of me.
You absolute legend, Dennis Carnahan. You have shown that you are indeed a rugby league trivia champion. How
I've
good are you?
I've broken my own heart. For beating Sammy. Sorry, Sammy.
Delete my number, Dennis. Let's never speak again.
Absolutely, absolutely awesome, Dennis. And for that, you win yourself a National Panasonic TV with remote control from 1986. Okay?
That's a cathode ray tube, a nice big one.
Yes, that's right. Exactly right. It's round at the front, mate, so, you know, the handprints don't show up. It's one of those absolute
But ripples. Also, when you chuck the tennis ball at it, it bounces back rather than smashing.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Dennis Carnahan, not only have you proven that you are indeed a trivia champion, you're a great bloke. Thank you for, at short notice, agreeing to be part of the program today. And may you continue to love your Raiders and see them winning in season 2024.
Thank you. That's what I'm hoping.
And as for you, Sammy, we're going to chat to Kirk Capewell in just a moment. And we're looking forward to that chat, aren't we?
Yeah, very interesting to hear his thoughts on the move and how things are going over there.
That's coming up on Inzane Rugby League.
It's Inzane Rugby League. Inzane all the time. On ABC Sport Digital and the ABC Listen app. And that's the way we like it.
Kurt Capewell, former Shark, Panthers Premiership player, Broncos Grand Finalist. Welcome to Inzane Rugby League. How does it feel being a New Zealand Warrior?
Yeah, it's good, mate. It's good. It's very exciting. Exciting times over here. There's a big following growing in New Zealand, and yeah, great to be a part of it.
Kurt, you did leave the Broncos with a year left on your contract. How did it all come about from the point where you thought there was a chance of leaving to it actually happening?
Yeah, well, it came about sort of late in the piece last year. I went to the club, obviously looking for a bit of an extension, and they made me aware that it would be at a reduced rate, which I was more than happy to entertain, knowing the young talent they'll have to, try and keep. So, unfortunately, after the guy, I told him I'd speak to him after the grand final. And when we spoke after the grand final, it was, a pretty low number, which was, understandable. As I said, that the talent they've got coming through that they have to try and maintain and prioritise is some of the best talent in the game in Ezra Mam and Reece Walsh. So that was understandable. And I just asked the club if I could, obviously have a look around and see what options were out there, which they were happy for me to do. And, once obviously the Warriors heard that, and Webby, who I'd obviously worked for before at Penrith, he jumped on the phone straight away and asked if there was a chance of coming over this year, which, I was a bit, hesitant to say yes to, but the Broncos were happy for me to leave, given the opportunity that I, get an extra 2 years on my contract and obviously I'd be able to earn a fair bit more money. So, all parties sort of got to win, which is a unfamiliar situation in the NRL. There's usually someone that doesn't, but, all parties were happy to go forward with it, and here I am, a Warrior now.
I just want to ask you, when you go to the Broncos and they give you the offer for an extension and it's not what you think you're worth and what I know you've brought to the Brisbane Broncos, what do you say when you go home and you say, well, look, maybe we go to New Zealand, maybe we need to take the extra money? What's that discussion like?
No, it's sort of a part of the industry. You got to make hay while the sun shines, and everyone understands that. There's times in your career where you sacrifice a lot, and I've always been one to take less money throughout my career, and but I'd seen a really good opportunity, not so much for the money, but to come to another club that's a genuine chance for the title, and to be able to get paid good money to do it as well. It sort of was just a no-brainer for myself and Skye, my partner. So she was more than happy to pack up her bags and board the plane.
Mate, I took my wife to the north of England. That's a harder conversation than going across the ditch, mate. obviously, the Warriors last year was a pretty successful year for the club, but some pretty talented players there as well. Who are you most looking forward to lining up with?
Mate, it's a star-studded lineup over here with the likes of Roger coming back as well and Chanel Harris-Savita. He's back in and in great form in training. So it's going to be a very exciting year, I think, if you're a Warriors fan. And I think, to line up, next to Roger, that's something special. He's putting on a clinic at training with that left foot of his and cutting blokes in half. So it's going to be pretty fun to play with.
Yeah, moving countries is a lot different from going from the Shire when you're playing for the Sharks to the Panthers. What's been the hardest logistical thing for you and your family to deal with on this move across to New Zealand, Kurt?
How expensive is it to move a dog across? I tell you what, costs more than the actual dog. But it's actually been a bit of a breeze. The Warriors have been great and helped me out, getting me settled in over here. And also, everyone at the club at the Broncos, and, they done what they could. And, very thankful to all the people at the Warriors that have helped me out. Helped me settle in, make me feel welcome.
When you first went over, one of the selling points was the fact that the former Panthers assistant, Andrew Webster, is now the man in charge over there. Has he been very different to how he was an assistant to how he is now as a head coach?
Yeah, mate. To be honest, I think he has grown a lot. He's definitely taken the role of head coach very seriously, and he's putting his own stamp on it. So it's great to see. And, I obviously knew he was a good coach and a very smart coach from his time at the Panthers. But, to see him as a head coach and to sort of, I guess, like I said, put his mark on the whole program and really, really watch him, present to the players and to see them all buy in, it's really great, really exciting. I can't wait, honestly, for the season ahead. It's some of the young talent over here that are buying in to what Webby's got. I think they're going to, they're just going to improve leaps and bounds, and I think you've seen that last year.
This is InZone Rugby League with Zane Bojack and Sam Williams on ABC Sport Digital, the ABC Listen app, Radio Australia right across the Pacific. We're speaking with the Panthers Premiership player, Queensland Origin star and new Warriors signing Kurt Capel. Kurt, I had the best holiday of my life when I went across the Tasman in 2019. My wife and little boy, we hired a car, we drove across both islands. How much did you know about New Zealand before you went there? And what's the best place that you've been to since you've got over there?
Yeah, well, I've been over here a few times, obviously, throughout the career. And each time I come over, it's been I've been able to experience a few different places. I was lucky enough to do a mid-season trip with Matty Moreland to Queenstown, so that was pretty fun, as you can imagine, on a bye weekend. but then even last year, we came over and played in Napier as well. Whilst I was at the Sharks, I got to play in Wellington. So I've seen plenty of parts of New Zealand. And to be honest, mate, it's a beautiful country, and there's just so much to do and so much to see. So pre-season's been a bit busy to be doing too much at the moment, but I'm definitely looking forward to doing a bit of fishing around the area, and maybe a couple of weekends in Queenstown should be pretty fun.
The boys got hammered for going to Bali mid-season. Sounds like the keys just to swing over to Queenstown. That sounds like the go.
I think you just got to keep it under wraps. But definitely me and Matty Moylan, we had a good time.
Yeah, it's good going. Yeah, you need to freshen up mid-season. I'm all for it. Mate, last year up the Waz, it was huge. It made a real impact in New Zealand. But it is an All Blacks heartland. They've made a Rugby World Cup final since. What's it like going from somewhere like Brisbane, where rugby league is king, to a nation where it's not the number one footy code?
Yeah, well, I think they made plenty of progress against rugby union last year over here, because You know, every time you walk down the street over here, someone yells up the Wales, which is
good.
It's quite entertaining. And I think, yeah, like I said, it's a credit to what they were able to do last year. And if we can build on that and keep the ball rolling and produce some stuff and get better and better each week, then, yeah, who knows, we might take over rugby union over here.
I hope that's the case, because when you've got Roger Tuivasa-Sheck leaving rugby and going back to rugby league, let's hope he has a storming season outside your curtain. Everyone's talking about up the Waz once again. Look, I want to take you back to this moment in 2021 at Lang Park. You were wearing a Penrith Panthers jersey. This is a moment I'm sure you always enjoy reliving.
Links up with Walker. Walker intercept. Stephen Crichton over the 40, over the 20, the 10. Bye-bye. See ya. Stephen Crichton, an intercept try. Penrith back in front. 14-12 to Penrith, 4 minutes 31 to go. Here comes Reynolds. He moves in. He strikes it. It's coming around. Not enough. He misses to the right. No goal. Time's up. Penrith won. The Penrith Panthers win the 2021 National Rugby League season. They've beaten South Sydney 14 points to 12 in a wonderful grand final at Lang Park in Brisbane. History made with a grand final in Brisbane, and Penrith held on to win.
Unbelievable. We've been working so hard, mate. 2 years of, mate, to make a memory like that with all these boys, you know, lifelong brothers. I love them to death and can't get better than this. This is awesome.
It actually gave me goosebumps, because I remember being on the sidelines, one of the grand finals I got to do for the ABC. Has there ever been a feeling in your life like that moment after full time in 2021, Kurt?
Oh, winning Origin at Suncorp's pretty fun too, mate. But it was definitely a highlight of my career. But yeah, that takes me back, gives me a few goosebumps. And it's a special place, Suncorp Stadium, as you know. And to be able to win a premiership there, yeah, it's something I'll hold on to and cherish forever.
2019, I was 18th man for the Raiders when we got done in the grand final to the Chooks, and I know how much goes into it, and there's moments throughout the season where you think that this is going to happen. Was there anything at Penrith that jumped out at you and you thought, you know what, this is ours and this is how it's going to play out?
Obviously, you know, we went on a pretty good run whilst I was at Penrith, and the year before I thought it was going to happen, and unfortunately it didn't. Melbourne got the better of us, and then we came back for that pre-season, and I could just see signs that pre-season how hungry some of the boys were. And I knew that if we got to that point, then, you know, we were never going to lose it. South Sydney were good. They were unbelievable, actually, the first half. They held us out for the first 20 minutes. Like, we probably should have had 12 points on the board by that stage. But, you know, they were done well enough to hold us out. And, Reno's heard about that kick he's missed a couple of times, I'm not going to lie. But, throughout that whole year and then heading, obviously, up to the Sunshine Coast in the COVID bubble, that sort of, you know, special bond that you build, you know, with your teammates, living in each other's pockets and training every day. And I could sense something special happening that year. And I knew it was my last after, you know, halfway through the year, I knew I was moving to Brisbane. So, there was just no other option in my head. I just knew we were going to win it.
Did you know that your team was capable of going on to win three in a row as they've done?
Mate, I knew they were definitely capable of it. It's something I sometimes sit at home and think about, you know, what if I stayed? But to be able to, you know, obviously watch them do that, and, you know, I'm very happy for them, what they've been able to achieve, and very, very happy to have, you know, been a part of the first one. And, to see what they've gone on to do, and the legacy they now left, or they are now leaving, it's still, they're still that young. It's pretty crazy. It was unfortunate last year to get the Bronx to the grand final, and obviously it had to be against Panthers, the old team. So it was a bit of a different experience, but it definitely broke my heart losing to the old team, and just goes to show what a great team they are.
All right, well, maybe close your ears, because we're about to listen to what happened in 2023.
Now Palacia goes left to Mam, away to Walsh, zip, over halfway, beats 1-2, got the pass to Mam, looking for a grand final hat-trick, he's past him, he's over, he's rampant, the Broncos are going to break a 17-year drought. Brisbane 22,
Penrith 8. There's still 25 to go. Kenny, short side left, Cleary. Steps past. 1, 2, 3. Scores between the posts. Nathan Cleary has turned this grand final. He's picked it up, raised it above his head and flipped it over. It's 24-all. What a try, Cleary. 3 minutes 18 to go. And Louis, the kick will be from right in front. What a performance by the Panthers. What a comeback. They joined Parramatta in the early 80s to win 3 in a row. 8 seconds left. Kenny in the Flegler. Brisbane players have collapsed. How did that get away? Penrith are going ape. They don't know how they did it, but they have. What a grand final.
As you heard there, Kurt, from Andrew Moore, he even was talking about the Broncos breaking their premiership drought. With that try for Ezra Mamey's third try, did you allow yourself to think that maybe a second premiership ring was going on your finger?
Mate, to be honest, I was very cautious to not tell myself that. There was the point where Ezra scored that third try of his, and I made sure to tell myself, you know, the game's not over, let's finish the way we've just continued to play the way we're playing. We got back to the huddle and, you know, everyone sort of seems, you know, normal, like the game we were in, and maybe a bit quieter than usual. But yeah, other than that, I didn't see the comeback coming, and just goes to show what a great player Nathan Cleary is, and the way he was able to, you know, take the game by the scruff of the neck and turn it around for his team, literally put him on his back and won him the game. It's I was shattered, and I was I got pretty concussed at one point there, and I can't really remember how it happened, and I'm still yet to watch the game back. But I just remember walking along the dead ball line and seeing Nathan step back in past two or three of us and score that try to win it. Yeah, it sort of broke me a little bit, but that's what the great players do, isn't it? They step up in those big moments, and full credit to Nathan.
What about after the game there, Kurt? Kevy spoke about how cruel rugby league can be. How long did you let yourself sit there and sulk and lock yourself in a dark room before you went, oh, hang on a second, it's just a game, life goes on, and hopefully there's another opportunity?
Yeah, it was pretty raw after the game. It's probably why the game's so great, mate, because you feel like you can have it all, and you can have it all taken away from you so quickly as well. And that's why you got to cherish the wins, and it's sort of what drives you to get back there and to get another ring, and you know, to the opportunity. You've got to lose to sort of know what it feels like. So then, as I said, when we done it at Penrith, we lost the first year and came back in the preseason that next following year, and you could just sense the hunger from all the boys. So it was raw. I was in the sheds. I was lucky enough to have all my family there, so there was a few tears shed. And once you know, get the talk from your family, and you know, you realise, you know, it's a pretty special achievement, just making a grand final, and doesn't make it any easier when you lose it. But you move on, and once you get a bit of a cuddle from your parents and from your partner, it sort of helps a little bit. But the next sort of day or two is spent sort of, I guess it is definitely hard to process, but I like to focus on the positives. And the next day or two, I try to, you know, do my best to help the team move past it and really focus on what a good year we had, and you know, how much we improved in that year, and how much improvement that team still has left. And I'm sure they'll be a force to be reckoned with this year. And let's just hope the Warriors can get one up on them.
Well, that you've sort of answered the question I was going to ask, Kurt. I know when you went to the Broncos, you and Adam Reynolds provided that winning DNA for the club. Are you doing that now at the Warriors? Have they tapped into what you learnt both in your premiership year and also the Broncos grand final run?
Yeah, I think obviously the Warriors are in a bit of a better position than the Broncos were when I got there. They were already on their path, and I'll just, you know, for me to come over here, I'm just going to try and plant the seed in a couple of the young talent that they've got here, and on you know what I believe the game's all about, and which is the effort stuff, and if I can help them become better players, and do my part for the team too come game day, then I'm pretty sure that the Warriors coaching staff and the whole team there, if they continue the trajectory they're on, then they'll definitely be a premiership hope.
Just on that subject, when you played against the Warriors for the Sharks and for the Panthers and for the Broncos, there's always been a feeling, why hasn't New Zealand won it yet? What do you think has been the missing link? Why haven't they been able to get that title, and why are you going to be able to help them do it?
Well, I'm not too sure, mate. To be honest, I'm not a rugby league professional or analyst or whatnot. I'm not a coach by any means, but I know that they've always been a powerhouse team. You never have an easy game coming up against them. The first 20 minutes is definitely a war, and I think sometimes they lose it. They can't really put together that full 80 minutes, so I wouldn't say that's something that I can help them so much with, but definitely something that I've based my career around is being an 80 minute back rower and doing all the little things for the full 80 minutes. So if I can just help out in that regard, then I'm sure the team will go a little bit better, and the next generation of Warriors, if they can take that on board, then it's sort of setting up the club to have a very successful future as well.
I think you've nailed it on the head there. I think that most of the good sides can do the little things for longer, and you look at that Penrith side, and they just do the little things for longer, and they've done it for the last few years, and the results are there. They have an unbelievable way of finishing games in the last 20 minutes. No doubt you'll have a bit of an impact over there with the Warriors in that as well. You miss out on a trip to Vegas. You might have to settle to Queenstown by coming across the Warriors. Is it something you wanted to be a part of, or are you just going to have to settle?
No, definitely something that, it was definitely exciting. I was looking forward to obviously getting to play over there. I was lucky enough to get over there in the off-season and experience Vegas, I guess the other side of Vegas. But it would have been pretty cool to be able to play over there. But hopefully the Warriors get a call up for the next time they go overseas to take a game over there. I know, the Warriors are full of exciting players and, big boys up front and some great talent on the outside backs as well. So I think the NRL should seriously consider taking the New Zealand team over there.
Good pitch, mate.
Kurt, I know some of your former Broncos teammates have colourful characters. They say that what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas. Do you think that might need to happen with some of the hilarity that's going to happen for those boys off the field?
Yeah, I think the plan is to do the training camp in LA beforehand, so and limit the amount of time that those boys get in Vegas. So, as you know, they've got a few characters, and I dare say Ezra Mann will be walking around in Versace clothes and whatnot. So,
any chance that Alfie doesn't come home?
Well, I think Alfie's gone there a month early just to get it out of his system. But no, I'm sure they'll have a great time over there. I was lucky enough to catch up with a few of them on the weekend at the Maroons camp. So, they said their prep's going well, and I wish them all the best for the season. And hopefully they get the win over there in Vegas because, I'd like to be a part of the dressing sheds after they have a win.
Just on that subject, you were at the Maroons camp. What's your thoughts on Cam Smith pulling the pin as assistant for the Maroons, and what's he brought to the squad in the past that you think now Matt Ballen filling in his shoes, Matt can do the same job?
Yeah, well, obviously having Matty Ballen at the Broncos, I think he's a great coach. He's definitely, helped get the Broncos to where they are now. So I think, Cam pulling the pin, I'm not sure, I haven't spoken to Cam since, but what he provided for Queensland, not just as a player, but as a coach, he shows you all the little things, proved him to be so successful, and that really helps out through Origin. He's the greatest ever Queenslander, perhaps. I'm not sure if I should be saying that, but he's definitely obviously played the most games and probably the most successful as well. So, full credit to Cam, what he's done for the Maroons, and I'm sure he's got good reason for not being a part of it this year. But, just want to thank him for what he's done for me while I was in the Maroon jersey as well.
As a New South Welshman, all Sammy could hear then was blah, 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 blah. But that's all right.
Hard to argue with. That's because they don't get it.
Exactly. Move right. on to the probe, mate. Move on.
8 matches each round. 2 rugby league experts. Surely it's not that hard to pick the winners. Each episode, we'll chat to a celebrity and ask them to give us their tips. Let's find out who's trying to beat the boys on Insane Rugby League this week.
I'm Mila Bell. I've got a story.
What kind of story?
It's a crime story.
The boys have experienced a lot of trauma over the years. Their mother's addiction. And the criminal activity of their stepdad.
He's doing this because he loves you.
Oh, we've done plenty of dumb things in our lifetime, but the man that we're about to speak to right now, he did something amazing. Not only did he write a book, but then it got turned into a hit series on Netflix around the world. It's called Boy Swallows Universe. Trent Dalton, thank you for joining Sam Williams and I on InZane Rugby League.
Zane and Sammy, it's an honour. It's a genuine honour. Thanks for having me. And it's so good to hear a bit of Paul Kelly ringing out on your amazing podcast.
Well, that's one of the things. Like, the music's great, but even the sets, you had Parramatta Eels jerseys on the two kids. Just absolutely amazing. And I just want to know, like, I understand that you're an Eels fan, but how do you source, like, the James Hardy jerseys? Because they can't be easy to come by.
Oh, that is this incredible woman, this art director named Michelle McGay. Zane, I'm telling you, they source that across the country. They put word out. They trawl through eBay. They go to great lengths. And it was so amazing to see some of that not genuine 1980s Eels, you know, paraphernalia. Like, it was unbelievable because that's my world. Like, they were my first team. Like, and I'm as Broncos as you can get, but the Eels in the 1980s were as special to me as the 1980s West Indies. You know what I mean? Like, they were. Ray Price was a god in our house. Ray Price was bigger than the Pope. You know, it was like to see that reflected on that show, which went to like 75 countries around the world. So these. You know, there's this amazing shot in that show where the Parramatta Eels are coming on for a semi-final. It's just the best. I just get so excited, to see that.
It's a credit to you that you made it so lifelike and so original to the way it was back in the 80s. And, look, it was 86 the last time that your Eels actually won the competition. I asked Sammy Williams before and he said no, but as an Eels fan, is this the year, Trent?
Oh, might well be judging on the weekend. You know, I mean, I know it wasn't their starriest performance, but it was solid. I was impressed. So you never know. You never know. You wouldn't believe how many people on that production are Eels fans. So we've all been texting each other, like Simon Baker. You know that Simon Baker, the actor?
Yeah.
Massive Eels fan. He's bigger Eels fan than I am. He's just like losing his mind. So it could be, you know, but there's a lot of stiff competition, so you never know. But, mate, from what I saw on the weekend, I was pretty impressed. So, you know, fingers crossed, it'd be the most amazing thing for the whole community, you know. Like, it's one of those things, if the Eels are doing well, you know, footy's going well, you know, because it's such a heartland team and, you know, we get so proud of those boys down there. And, you know, it's the team, you know, the Sydney-based team that I can just really get behind because I find sort of working class kind of similarities and stuff. So, mate, fingers crossed.
What about those sides in Brizzy then, Trent? We've got the Broncos and the Dolphins struggling early. Is there any concerns there for the year, mate?
Just anomalies, mate. Yep. That was no. Honestly, my kids and I don't even get me started on how big Broncos fans my daughters are. They just love this team. They love this team so much. I actually thought we were really the lack of Farmworth showed. That was, I've been really worried about the lack of Farmworth, and then I love seeing Selwyn in centres, but it's going to take him a while to kind of adjust, I think. You know, that beautiful young man, you know, he's one of my favorite players to watch. He looked a little bit out of place, you know, there, you know, at that, you know, I don't know, the field was a bit odd. It all felt a bit odd to me, actually, that night. I was just, nothing sat right, but there were just some flashes of brilliance. And it was the Dolphins I'm a bit more worried about. The Dolphins, you know, I was raised in, you know, place called Bracken Ridge, not far from Redcliffe, and they're just such a huge team to me now. And I would have really hoped that they might had a bit of a stronger start. But on the flip side of that, I'm happy my Queensland boys, the Cowboys, did well. So it's sort of it's so good that we can even talk like this, that we've got like four Queensland teams that we can talk about. It's just such a thrill, you know. So, but I'm not worried about the Broncos, hence why I'm going to tip them this week. But they got too much star power. They're just all of those guys, once they get firing, I think it'll be so exciting again. I've got my season tickets this year, so I'm heading out there Thursday night, and I can't wait.
Well, we might as well jump into the tips. You've already tipped the Broncos against the Rabbitohs. Who are you going to that one, Sammy? This is the game that opens the round on Thursday night.
What a blockbuster. How good. Bunnies and Broncos are both looking to come back from that that Vegas trip. I think that the Bunnies can cause some headaches this year. I think they've got the back line to do it. But back in Brisbane, the Broncos at home, I think Reece Walsh turns it on. I'm going with Trent. I'm going the Broncos.
All right, I'm going to ask you about what you've been up to lately, Trent, but we'll keep going through the tips. The Sharkies and the Bulldogs open us up on Friday night. Who are you going in that one?
Me, Zane? Yeah, Sharks. Sharks for me. Just, that pulled off. That's not an easy win, what they did on the weekend, like this week. That's not easy to go. I think what they were over in NZ, right? That's just hard to win over there. And you know, New Zealand are just solid team. I was very impressed that they pulled that out. I love Nico Hines. But don't even get me started, Zane. His mum and my mum have very, very similar sort of histories. I get so proud of that guy. And I just really hope that guy, you know, he had a little bit of a rocky sort of moment last year. And, you know, I just hope he's just back to his best this year. It'll be the most amazing thing to see.
I'm assuming you're going Sharks as well, Sammy.
Yeah, the Dogs, I reckon they were the most disappointing side of the opening round. So Sharkies for me.
Panthers and Parramatta Eels. Your Eels up against the defending champions, the three-time defending champions. Are you going for the men in black, or are you going for your blue and gold?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Parramatta fans. I'm just going for the men in black. They're too darn good. And only because I had such a poor round. I only got two teams right last week, and so I've got to go the Panthers. I can't waste any more on my heart. You know what I mean? I did so many heart picks on my last one. I picked Dolphins and Broncos and Titans I picked, you know, so I've just got to go with my head. I'm going to go Panthers.
Eels have got a good record against the Panthers in the last year. I think they won three of their last four against them, Sammy.
Yeah, they do. They actually do have a good record. They know how to beat them. I think that the Eels, as I said earlier on, I think that their spine is when it's going and when it's humming, they are as creative as anyone. So I think that the Eels can cause some headaches, but Panthers losing two to start the season, I don't think that happens. So you've got to go with them back at home, I think.
All right. I'll go back to you again for the first game on Saturday. Do I even need to ask? Raiders versus Tigers?
Well, you can ask me by how much, and I can say 20 points. So the Raiders by 20.
Wow!
I had Zane laughing down the line at me when I tipped them to come eighth. I had me top eight, and he said, they obviously had to be eighth. And then we've come out round one, and we've shown enough ticker. We're going to go 2-0. Be sitting pretty at the top of the table. So Raiders by 20, mate.
What about you, Trent? You happy to have the Tigers playing up for 3 weeks? They haven't played a game of footy for 3 weeks, and now they've got to take on the Raiders down in the nation's capital.
Yeah, that's rough, isn't it? That's rough. Don't you just feel for the Tigers? Like, I don't know, just tough being a Tigers fan, but I'm going Raiders, and no one needs to hear my thoughts on Raiders, but, I mean, it'd just be so amazing to see that team do well again, you know? I actually feel they've been hard done by in so many seasons in the past, in recent past, you know? And it's just, you know, I've got deep, fond memories of that team, and, you know, there's nothing like this. Same again, you know, Raiders doing well, footy's doing well, so fingers crossed they do get it. I don't know about by 20, but I reckon your top eight stuff, Sammy, could be a possibility. Or, I mean, why the hell not?
Mate, you can come on this podcast anytime you like.
Wow. Okay.
Can I just say, it was all the Queensland players that were the best Canberra Raiders, by the way. Like, can we just remember? Oh, sorry, Laurie and Ricky.
We did some good recruiting there in the mid to late 80s. They came down in droves. We'll claim them all now. Mal's still living here. It's all right. He's a Canberran now.
Gary Coyne scoring four tries against Manly in the 91 final series. There were some unheralded Queenslanders in there as well.
Is that one of the greatest grand final performances ever? Oh, just amazing. coin.
Look, to be honest with you, some of the players, like, you know who never gets the credit that they deserve is Chris O'Sullivan. Now, no one knows who he is, and even now he's unassuming, but in that 89 grand final, he was instrumental in the Raiders winning that game.
He was massive, Sully. He still comes to a lot of the functions down here, a lot of the old boys' functions, and he's more than happy to tell you about it as well, Sully. He's a great man. He's got a great memory, but he lets Ricky know his thoughts and keeps him accountable as well. He's a great man, Sully, and he was a hell of an 89 performance.
I'm glad someone can keep Ricky in check. There you go. Storm versus Warriors. This is one of the best games of the round. I'll go with you first, Sam.
Oh, I tell you what, I think that the Warriors were a touch disappointing last week. I think they really missed chance Nickell Klugster last week as well. So, I mean, I think that you've got to go with the Storm, but I think that the Warriors are going to be... I saw enough last week to say that they're not going to have a hangover from last year's season, but the Storm have just knocked off the Premiers, so you've got to go with them.
What about you, Trent?
Yeah, Storm. I mean, how confident would they be feeling? What a way to start the season, you know, and... They worry me. They worry me as much as Roosters worry me, as much as Panthers worry me, you know, about our future for the Broncos.
Then on Sunday, we've got another great game involving two clubs who return from Vegas. It's Manly Sea Eagles versus the Sydney Roosters. Looking forward to this contest. I'll get your tip, Sammy.
Yeah, I like Manly. There you go. I think that Manly can go back-to-back. I was really bullish going into the round one game over there in Vegas, and I think they're going to be better for it again this week. I reckon they're going to put some big scorelines on Manly this year, and I don't think it'll be a big scoreline this week because the Roosters were impressive, but I think Manly's going to win it.
What about you, Trent, at Brookie? Manly for you?
Yeah, everyone's talking up Manly and they say Tom Trbojevic is back, but I didn't catch that game, so maybe I'm missing something, but I did see the Roosters play very well against the Bronx, and that did genuinely, as I said, scare me a little. I was like, damn, these guys might go all right. Even Luke Keary was just tackling like a demon. I was just like, wow, where's that come from? So, I'm going to go Roosters, but, yeah, that's going to be a cracker. That could be, as you say, one of the games of the round.
Turbo versus Teddy, two marquees at the back. Hope they get some open space because they are both in hot form. And just finally, two teams in red, Dolphins versus St. George Illawarra Dragons. There'll be a big crowd out at Dolphin Oval at 10 past 6 Australian Eastern Daylight Time on Sunday night to finish off round two. Your thoughts, Trent, seeing how you're a Queenslander, the Dolphins and St. George Illawarra Dragons, who have always had good support in Queensland as well.
Oh, they have. A lot of love for the Dragons up here. But, mate, it's the Redcliffe boys all the way. I used to play footy on Dolphin Oval. It's paradise out there. The fact that they're doing NRL games in Dolphin Oval is just heaven, you know. So go the Dolphins.
What about you, Sammy?
Yeah, I'm on the Dolphins. I'm cautious of the Dragons getting too far ahead of themselves after 1 week, and I think that the Dolphins and Wayne, they will be absolutely ropeable with last week's performance. So I think that the Dolphins will turn it around.
Just before you go, Trent, we have to ask you about what you've been up to. You've been busy filming for the ABC in recent weeks. What are you working on?
Virginia Trioli and me, mate, are doing a little... she's doing a documentary series called Creative Types. She's just talking to six creative Australians, myself, Warwick Thornton, Marta Dusseldorp, Patricia Piccanini, all these amazing artists, about sort of what makes them tick creatively. And then, so that's coming out in April. And my wife and I have been helping to adapt a book I wrote called Love Stories, where I sat on a corner of Adelaide and Albert Street up here in Brizzy, asking 150 people to tell me love stories. We're turning that into a big stage play that'll be part of the Brisbane Festival. So, that's pretty much it, mate. But honestly, doing tips with Sammy Williams is probably the highlight of my year so far. So, honestly, this is actually very cool.
Oh, mate, I thought your year was more excited than that, but I'll take it.
He just wanted to know where the red telephone came from. That was his.
Yeah, where the red telephone idea come from.
Oh, mate, no, dead set real. Like, my mum fell in love with this heroin dealer when we were kids, and my brothers and I found a little secret room that he had underneath his house, and there was nothing in that room but a rotary dial red telephone. That's a fact. Yeah, crazy stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
It came from the real world, mate.
So I think some of the stuff's souped up, but like so much of it is real.
Oh, it's about 50-50, Zane. I sort of say it's about, yeah, like all that stuff, like all the prison stuff's pretty real. The kid does all the things I wanted to do, so I never busted in the prison, but I sure did want to around Christmas 1988 when, Mum wasn't around. And, you know, so it's all those thoughts that I had in my head that I got to put inside a book, yeah. But all the stuff with the dad, all that's pretty real, and all the adventures and all the fights and all the blood, yeah, that's all pretty real, and all the love of footy is absolutely real.
Well, we've seen that today, Trent. Thank you so much for being part of Inzane Rugby League. It's been great having you on Celebrity Tipping. Hopefully you do well and beat Sam Williams, and who knows? We might be able to get you on the show again.
Yeah, anytime, mate, anytime. And Sam, it is a genuine honour, and it's just so great to be on here, Zane. Thanks for having me.
That is Trent Dalton. He is the writer and producer of the Netflix series Boy Swallows Universe. Sammy, I hope you have a great rest of the round. And what are you up to apart from your commentary? Have you got anything else that you're doing? You'll be doing a show in Canberra on Saturday?
Got plenty on. Yep, Saturday morning, 11 to 12, we'll have the ABC Grandstand show on. And I've also got the Monero versus, I think we're playing Northern Titans in the Country Rugby League knockout series. So if we win this, we go through to the final of the Country Championship. So I'm playing that as well. So it's all happening this weekend, mate. It's good to have the footy back.
Great to have Sammy Williams with us on Inzane Rugby League. Well, as I say every week, I hope you have fun. Make sure you check your local guides. Remember, the round kicks off with the Broncos and South Sydney Rabbitohs at 7:05 Australian Eastern Daylight Time on Thursday night. But if you're in the Pacific, make sure you check your local guides. This is Zane Bojack saying, enjoy your footy.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.